Hey guys, welcome to Remarried Love, the best new relationship podcast for everyday men and women who desire to be married again.
If this is your first time listening to the show, welcome. This podcast is devoted to being a safe space for you to heal from a divorce and grow towards a brighter future. Whether you are recently singled or already remarried, this podcast has something for you.
We are your hosts, Dee
and Aki,
and we're going to have candid, heartfelt conversations about the journey to a healthy remarriage.
We are so glad you're here.
As always, we'll give you some nuggets of wisdom. So take a deep breath. Now let's get into it.
In this episode, we discuss,
how do you handle finances in a remarriage?
The first thing I would recommend definitely is to be completely honest with how your bank accounts are set up.
Yes. Well, you have to know if someone has a bank account, for, you know, how many bank accounts do you have?
Yes. You'll be surprised that if you're just honest with people, you show what you have. If you love this person and you want to remarry them, you should not feel embarrassed by whatever situation your money is in. And if they have gone through a divorce too, or any situation where they've had a extreme life-changing event, they'll probably be more understanding of how your accounts are set up.
My money's gone through many transitions.
Yeah.
You know,
as a lot of people's.
I had to grow in my knowledge as a person who understands money, or how to understand money, what money means, what it, you know, can do for you.
In my situation, my money was completely gone. My accounts were frozen. My identity was stolen. I literally was starting from scratch. And I had to come to the table with that. Look, hey, when I get paid, I cash my checks at check and cash right now till I can get my stuff together. And I didn't have shame. I mean, I had gone from A1 credit to zero credit to, like, you could almost go to jail for the type of credit I had. And it was okay because I knew that if I just worked towards it, put it out in the open, let you know what my situation was, how I knew that I could get it back, the time that it would need. It just felt like this burden was off of my chest because I could just tell you without any shame.
So how do you handle finances in a remarriage?
The best thing to do definitely is to be honest about how your accounts are set up.
Yeah, I think it's just everything about it. I mean, your accounts, what you think about money.
Yes.
How you feel about money. How you think about money is different than how you feel about it, because you can think that you know what you're doing with it, but inside you really don't feel secure in what you're doing with your funds. I didn't know how to move money around. I didn't know that you can actually move your money around. It's your money and that you can move it, such as if you owe child support or what have you. I didn't know that you can actually move the date to make sure that you can pay.
Yeah.
You can pay for that so that you're not late.
Well, you can pay it at a window that's convenient for you. So, like, let's say you were paying it on the 5th of the month, right? And that was not good because you had all these bills coming in.
Everything's due.
If you pay it in the month, you could like move it to the 15th.
Yeah. So especially if you have the ability to do that where you control your money.
Right.
Then you can make those changes.
Yes.
You can always move your money around. I wanted to make sure that I was never late wherever I had to pay my bills.
Right. You don't want to be.
Yeah. So I wanted to make sure that I controlled where my money went so that I wouldn't receive any late fees.
Yeah. And that's another thing. Just knowing how the person feels about money. Is it important for them to pay on time? Are they a little nonchalant about it? Are they very, like, every penny is counted?
Meticulous.
Very meticulous with it. It's good to know that with your partner. And you have to be prepared that your new spouse can be totally different than how your ex was about money.
I like to know if someone is a penny pincher or a super spender.
Yeah, that's an important thing on a tight budget.
And you need to know if you're a penny pincher or a super spender.
Yes. As far as my money, when I got a divorce, I had none. My accounts were wiped out just from the situation. And I had to literally start from square one.
Yeah.
But I did have support from family, so it wasn't as devastating, but it still was. I mean, to have money in your accounts and then to not have any is a little, you know, like overnight is a bit much.
Well, losing money, period, to me is
not fun.
Is not fun. It's no. overwhelming and it's disturbing.
It's disturbing, yes. Yeah. So if you meet someone and you're serious about it and they're like, hey, you know, how are things set up with you when you get to that point? Because that's a very personal question. You know, when you talk about the money, you just have to lay it out all on the line. And I want to say, when you're having these very serious conversations with someone and they have at least gotten to the point where, hey, I want to have a conversation with you. I want to.
Well, you want to be with that person. And the next step is, you know, you're really talking about marriage with that person.
Right.
So we're going to talk about our resources. We're going to talk about our finances to make sure. Yeah, a serious conversation to make sure that we're on the same page.
And even if we're not on the same page, to know what we need to do and how we're going to navigate that.
And get on the same page.
Yeah, because you need to know this. And you also have to make sure that both of you agree that whatever is said, it's a safe space.
I like what you just said. You said agree. There has to be agreement when it comes to money. Because if you don't have agreement, that's where a lot of problems happen.
Well, I'm just saying, even the discussion, people can get very heated about it.
Or tense.
They can get embarrassed.
Yeah.
They can get defensive. And the thing is...
Or shy.
Yeah.
There's people who shy away from funds.
Let's say we're talking and we don't get on the same page. Mm-hmm. I can't go on social media or wherever and blast you about that, because that's why I said it has to be a safe space. The conversation we're about to have is going to stay right here.
Well, hopefully you're getting involved with someone who can keep your business under wraps, yeah. You know, keep it quiet between the two of you.
That's what you want.
Yeah, that's the kind of, you want somebody who's not going to expose you or your finances.
But is discreet.
Yeah, discreet.
And, you know, in our situation, we were not like on the same page at first about accounts, separate accounts and whatever. And it was mostly because of what I went through.
Yeah.
So for me, I was like, there is no way under the sun that we are going to have shared accounts.
Yeah.
I mean, what did you say?
I mean, I understood why you said that
mm-hmm.
before we even say anything else. My thing is, I understood exactly why you felt that way.
Right.
But for me, if I'm going to marry somebody, I want to be on the same page in my household.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure that we're sharing our accounts. And, you know, some people would say for them, it's great. We could have separate accounts.
Right.
But for me, in my own personal life, with the wife that I would have, I want to make sure that our household is together, that we have a bond as one together in every area.
And that was a deal breaker for you.
It was a deal breaker.
You said, if we don't have
shared accounts and we're
it's
not
over.
Then no. Yeah, I'm not, I didn't say it was over, but what I'm saying is that we would definitely have to have either more discussions or go our separate ways.
I think you said you're going to have to grow, like you'll have to heal from that. Have to grow. And trust, because really it wasn't about the accounts.
It was about the trust.
Yeah, because I had shared accounts before.
Mm-hmm.
And so my thing was, the only way I can assure that nobody touches my money is to have nobody have access to my money. Yeah. And it was funny because I didn't have any money right then.
Yeah, no. The person with no money is talking all this stuff.
All no money.
Yeah.
I was talking on the used to money.
Yeah.
The used to money I had. And so I was thinking, well, I'm going to have some money in the future. And
you don't want anybody to have access to that.
You really helped me with that, Aki. The real reason is not the account sharing thing, because you've done that.
Mm-hmm.
It's really the trust. And you did make an effort to show me that I could trust you. You know, you weren't just out here like, yeah, we're going to have to share accounts and that's it. You understood that that was like a very sensitive topic, an area in my life. And I felt like you went above and beyond just making sure that, hey, if I'm requiring that of you, here is all what my accounts are doing.
I mean, you had access to everything and still have access to everything. We both have access to everything. So there's no, you know, hiding. There's no, there's no lying. There's no deceptive, you know, nature and things.
You don't have to be that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm really glad that we are both on the same page when it comes to our resources.
Yes. And we had to get there. And so for people who are just starting out, who have different money styles, I would suggest that they begin to decide what the two of their money style, like when they become one, what money style is that? Because like, here's an example.
Yeah.
I want to get three quotes for everything. You may not be a three quoter person. And so now we have to decide, you're just like, yeah, we're going to get it, or we're going to do it ourselves or something. Right. And now we have to decide, how are we going to spend money when it comes to our household?
Yeah. That's why people have limits on how much can be spent.
Yeah.
And, you know, when they can spend it, where they can spend it, who gets it. Do I just give money away to people and that's okay?
That's a very good topic about how you give money away, how you do charity.
Yeah.
I had a family member, Larry, and it was weird because he would give money away, but he couldn't pay his bills.
Yeah.
And it was a thing that he did because he wanted to help other people. He really, in his heart, I feel, wanted to help family members. He wanted to help people, but he didn't have money. He wouldn't handle the responsibilities he had at home. And it caused other family members. It was just like a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
And it was like, Larry, just keep your money for like 1 month. Or I know some people have that issue about their spouse giving money to charities, churches.
Or family.
Family. Yeah, that's what we were talking about.
Yeah.
So you have to discuss that. And sometimes those limits or boundaries are not meant to control anybody.
No, especially if you have one household. Let's say you actually have one source of income where one person is working.
Yeah.
Then you definitely have to be on one accord when it comes to where your resources are going.
Right.
Because you want to make sure that the household is always taken care of first.
And what I liked about how we were coming together to make this new entity, and how it kind of made it better because it didn't feel like we were just doing everything you wanted to do or how you did it.
Yeah.
And you didn't feel like you're just doing
everything you wanted to do.
Right. We're actually saying, what is this new?
Yeah, we both are putting in input and getting something out of it.
Yes.
And that's what I like about this relationship, is that we're both putting in and getting out.
Yes. And with
we're contributing. And that to me feels great. You know, it adds value to our relationship, and it adds value to a healthy relationship.
What do you think about men who just do not want to give women their access to any of their money?
It's funny that you said that, because we have a story when we were actually getting married. Uh-huh. I don't know if you remember, there was a guy who...
Larry?
Yes, Larry.
Uh-huh.
There was a guy named Larry who... he was asked about giving, not just giving money to the woman who's going to be his wife, but mm-hmm. he said, I got to share my money with her.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, you know, you're becoming one. So why wouldn't you want to share your money with that person?
It's a very sensitive topic, and it's something that definitely needs to be discussed.
But I wouldn't marry somebody I couldn't share my money with. So that goes with the conversations that you have to have prior to marriage.
Some people just want you to give them, I mean, like, if I just wanted you to give me your money, it doesn't matter. We don't have to share. I'll have my money, and then you give me your money.
To me, that doesn't lean towards a healthy marital relationship.
Yeah, in long term.
Not long term.
No.
Because then someone's going to become angry, resentful, bitter, because I'm giving you things and you're just taking. When you're married to or dating a taker, it really doesn't feel good. So in my opinion, I want to be engaged with someone who is also giving back to me.
Yeah. Financially?
And always.
Financially. But you were, you know, when we got together, I didn't want to work while I was raising kids. So I'm not giving to you financially.
But you weren't spending a lot of money. Your output wasn't extensive. You know?
I was helping us save money, you know, with childcare and things like that.
Oh, we saved a lot of money because you were home.
You really want to have that discussion, because also people could have gone through financial trauma. The person, that's what I went through.
Yeah.
Along with all the other things. Now I am financially like wiped out.
Yeah.
Even the sources of income that I had, that were coming in were wiped out. So it's not just like my savings, it was everything. And so if someone is going through something like that, the other person has to be compassionate and still stand their ground though about how money is going to be spent, because you don't want to make decisions based off of financial trauma.
Definitely not.
You know, you don't want to say, well, now I'm only going to buy everything in cash or I won't do it. You know, so you could maybe have bought a house together or do something, but the person is like, no, I'm not going to do it. Or there's extreme situations around the money. So if anyone is dealing with financial trauma, you definitely want to heal from that and build trust with each other.
Well, one way a person can heal is by talking to their spouse or talking to their mate with it, because
you mean
about the financial things that they've gone through in their life, because you have to talk about that with the person that you're with so that both of you can understand, have an understanding, and then go forward from there.
And if you need a counselor just for money management, mm-hmm. that does help.
Yes.
You don't have to do this all by yourself. I think for remarried couples, counseling, coaches, help is even more useful or more effective, because a lot of times in a remarriage, you're relearning new things.
Well, you're also learning things that you didn't get the first time.
Yeah.
Sometimes if you didn't understand how to handle your finances in your previous marriage, you can take classes, you can go to school, you can do YouTube, you can learn and hear and understand, you know, the language of money, because money has a language of its own self.
There's some things that you can do. And I think though, when you're dealing with somebody else with it, that's where it gets a little tricky.
Money is tricky in and of itself when it comes to love and money. Because you're talking to someone you love about money. Those are two things that are close to people's hearts. Mm-hmm. And so you want to have an understanding in both of those areas.
Yeah.
So growing in both areas will only help your relationship.
Right, because you don't want to get remarried again and go through money problems. And when I say money problems, I'm talking about self-inflicted money problems, problems that you caused because of not knowing, you know, not because there was a situation. I mean, anytime there's like a disaster or something that happens, that can cause havoc on everything. But we're talking about money problems because you're an overspender. You just are. You have no discipline in money. You know, Cherry and I have talked about that, and she will spend money. She'll hide things that she spends.
Yeah.
One of her justification is to buy a lot of things and then give them away. And she feels like if she gives them away, then that makes her feel better about overspending. And then she'll tell her husband, I gave those away. And that goes with that charity. Mm-hmm. A lot of people can hide money issues with
justification
of giving.
Yeah.
You know, I gave it away. I think that is so important, because if you hide things under giving, then you are kind of justifying your own money. What bringing your money together does is I don't feel like I'm just spending my money. I feel like I'm spending
our money.
Mm-hmm. Because people will spend their money the way they want to.
Yeah.
But I will be more responsible spending our money.
Yeah.
So some of the things or topics that people don't realize that come up in remarriage are, I'll read a couple for you.
Okay.
Any type of inheritance, or how you want to do estate planning for kids if you have blended families or new kid, you know, however you want to do it.
Yeah. You want to make sure that there's an understanding where the funds are going to, because you may have children outside of the house and children inside of the house.
Right.
And who's going to get what? Who's going to get how much? The bottom line of what we're talking about is that know where you guys are going to allocate your funds.
Right. When you have kids in a blended family, sometimes this comes up where Larry said Cherry wanted him to give to her kids. And he was like, those kids need to be taken care of already. Where they're at is where, their father left off or whatever. And that caused a big rift between them, because who is going to work for future allocation of college funds and things like that? Some men, from my understanding, don't want to take on all of that as well, and would like the woman to have already set that up for her children with the ex that she had.
Many times when you come together with your spouse, you're trying to have agreement with each other as to how that child is going to be taken care of. And the person who is not the biological child's parent doesn't necessarily have say-so of funds or college, the inheritance for the outside child, the child outside of the household.
That's a good point. In a blended family, you have to decide the children that are outside of that marriage, how much say and resources and funding will go to that child from the new marriage.
Yes.
Now, we were talking about separate and joint accounts. Sometimes with outside children, or even if you're taking care of a family member, you may want to have an account set up just for that responsibility. And even though maybe the other spouse isn't contributing to it, but they know of it and they also have access to it. Yeah. I mean, like, you can have a separate account just for groceries. Let's say you have a grocery shopping account.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean
your spouse doesn't know anything about the account.
Right. So it's like you can set up accounts that are separate. Mm-hmm. Without it being
secretive,
right?
There's a difference between separate accounts and secret accounts.
Yes.
And in my opinion, secret accounts are not leading towards a healthy remarriage.
Right. That's where you can get into really bad arguments. And money is a big issue in the cause of divorce in any marriages.
Yeah. Whether you're remarried or you're married for the first time, you want to make sure that you're truthful with your spouse.
And you know, it's not even the lack of money that's the problem.
No, it's communicating about it.
It's communicating about the money.
Yeah.
You know, there's people who make a lot of money, billionaires, and they get a divorce.
Yeah. Why? Yeah, it's no money issue.
There's people who have no money. I mean, when I say no money, they're just not.
Day to day.
They're below the poverty line.
Yeah.
And they can stick together.
It's all about that communication.
It is.
And in my opinion, it's about being on one accord with it.
You just said something so powerful. There's a difference between separate accounts and secretive accounts.
Yeah.
And even if it's not in a bank, your account could be that bag you have, that Crown Royal bag you have somewhere with some money in it.
Yeah.
Or that old
cookie jar.
Or that little stash you have over at your mom and them's house.
It's mom and them.
Mom and them, yes.
No, I'm just
the other thing you want to know in a remarriage, did the person acquire any debts from their ex? Mm. Did they have to assume any loans? Did they have to assume anything?
That so you're going to have to take over as well.
That you will be a part of.
Yeah.
So just let somebody know. It's not that scary when people know.
It's almost like when people get their mail and you don't open up your mail because you're scared of your mail.
Right.
You don't have to be scared of your money.
And if you have liens, collections, I dealt with people that had that with real estate who wanted to buy homes.
Yeah.
And I would always tell them, look, we can get you into a home if you are honest about your money situation, because that's the only way we can improve it.
Yeah. You have to start from somewhere. And you have to know where that person is starting from.
Where are we at?
Yeah, where are we at so we can go higher?
It's just good to
be honest.
It's just good to be honest. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, you want to know if wages are being garnished for whatever reason. And it's not just for child support.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're thinking this person has this good job or whatever, and their wages are being garnished. Could be like some IRS tax lien or...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I didn't think about that.
It could be a lot of things.
There's a lot of things that take money away from people.
Yeah.
And if you're getting in a relationship and you're serious in your relationship, you mm-hmm. want to be honest with that person.
Right.
My money is going here, here, and here.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I do this. This is why I don't do that.
Right.
It's because of this situation.
You also need to talk about what money spending that you do that maybe in your mind you feel like it's a regular part of you, or this is what everyone does, but you don't realize that everyone doesn't do it. So,
yeah.
For example, let's say I have been doing a spa regimen every month. Let's say I do it weekly, and my monthly expenses for that, I didn't even really check before because I just used to do it. But now I'm looking at it, it's like $600 a month.
Or your spouse is looking at it.
Yeah.
Because if you've been doing it, you really weren't looking at it.
I never even calculated it.
Yeah, you've been doing it, but your spouse is looking at it and say, hey, look at this. You're spending $600 a month.
Just on you.
Just on you going to the spa.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of money.
And they could say, well, that's what I do. That's how I look this way, or this is what. And so you just have to know that.
Well, I'm glad that you said that, because when you get into a relationship, then you have to look at, well, our resources are together now. So are there alternative methods or things that we can do so that you can still have your spa day, but not at the expense of $600 for the month?
Right. There's all these workarounds that you can actually have access to if you are willing to work, willing to work it, whether it's student loans, mortgages, collection, all the things that we were talking about, child support, alimony, what other things that people have to deal with?
Well, there's a lot of different things that people deal with, but what I'm saying here is, as long as you're willing to work together for your healthy relationship, it's for the health of your relationship. You should be willing to sacrifice for that relationship, mm-hmm. give to that relationship, love for that relationship, and put your money where your mouth is for that relationship.
And that is hard for remarried people. It's hard for people who've been divorced, mm-hmm. hurt, financially devastated, or rearranged, however the situation is, to feel full enough to give.
This is why you have to be healed or go through a healing process while you are in your dating or single life as a going towards remarriage. You want to make sure that you're filling up your cup.
Yeah.
So that you can have enough to give back to someone else.
And you have to let somebody know if you're not ready for that. Because when you first told me about the situation with the account and how it's going to work out.
Yeah.
I couldn't handle that right in the beginning.
Yeah.
I had to process that. And you were very patient.
Well, I knew I wanted to be with you. I knew your character. I knew that we've had many, 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 many conversations. So I knew what type of woman you were.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't scared. I wasn't thinking that, oh, she's going to take my money. She got got on the account or anything like that. So, and you knew over time that I was not going to take money from you. I would give to you. I would love you with my money and all that I have. And the same would be here. You would do the same for me. I knew that.
Yeah. Well, that's good that you knew that, because I didn't have that, that assured feeling, assurity right in the beginning. You know what I mean? And it wasn't because of you.
That's why I knew it, because it wasn't because of me.
Yeah. It was like, okay, how am I going to deal with this? And this was like this feeling, this trust, whatever. And I had to decide, how am I going to navigate that with a new relationship that I wanted to have? There's people who even have loans, or they're paying on things that they don't even have possession of.
Wow.
Whether it's houses, pets, cars, mm-hmm. all these things, they're paying on something. And the other person could say, wait a minute, you're paying for a motorcycle that you don't have? Exercise equipment? Where is it?
I've been down that road. I've paid on something that I didn't have or didn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
And so you have to take care of that responsibility, which is what I did.
Yeah.
And I went.
And that wasn't fun.
It wasn't,
you didn't like that.
No, it wasn't fun dealing with that, but I went through it. And I know that our viewers and people who are watching and listening to us will be able to do it as well, as long as they stay focused on that.
They stay focused, and that you can't get upset anymore. In what we used to call it, you and I used to call it, there's casualties of divorce.
Yeah.
There's some casualties that happen.
Yeah, there's casualties. There's spoils of divorce, and there's casualties.
Some spoils, and there's some not too many spoils, but there's some.
Yeah, but there's casualties. But you know, there's some things you get. You get the blender or
something. But well, you had the blender before.
Well, you know, you got it again. They didn't take the blender from me.
So yeah, I got my blender, and I got my and me. Yeah. I got blender and me.
Well, you might get your peace back.
I know, that's right. Well, and I think that even if you got bad credit because of the divorce, that definitely happened to me. You know, I kind of felt like it was a reset. And I want to tell anyone out there, you can look at it's a situation two ways. It could be really, really bad, or you can look at it as
I get to start again.
You know what? It's like a blank slate. Yeah. And maybe that's what I had to do to cope with it.
Well, I actually think that that's a good way to look at it.
I was like, I literally have a blank
slate. A blank slate.
For real, though.
You didn't have any money.
Oh, no.
You didn't have any, you know, the person wasn't in your life anymore. You're just starting fresh.
No anything. I'm just like, I was just out there.
You're out there in space.
And I was like, you know, well, I can look at it like that. And I felt very vulnerable. Mm. You know, money can make you feel empowered. It can make you, it has a whole range of emotions. It can make you feel less than if you don't have it. It can make you feel like, what are some of the things that it made you feel?
It can make you feel sad.
It can make you feel sad.
It can make you feel happy. It can make you feel generous. I think that having money makes me feel like I can love on others.
And what does not having money feel like?
It makes me feel like I don't have what I need to make my kingdom, to make sure that everyone in my kingdom is taken care of.
Yeah. You know, one other emotion I felt was worthless.
Ooh.
And then I was kind of upset that I had put so much of my worth in money. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, wait a minute. I am like the exact same person I was when I had this money, and I'm the exact same person without it.
The only difference is what you can do with it and helping other people.
And so I guess I had to look at myself and if you're a person like that, that's another good point. If you're a person that likes to help people and you've been doing that, and then you have this devastating event, right? And now you don't have that cash flow or that money. You do have to learn how to help yourself.
Yeah.
And I do see that with people sometimes with money. Their money attitude was one way when they were married. And they were hurt because they couldn't keep that like way of life while they were going through the divorce. And you have to learn that your money lifestyle, your money habits, your money reputation for yourself changes, and you can reset it to something new.
Well, the good thing about life, when it comes to money, you can always start fresh.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes time, mm-hmm. but you can recover from it.
Right.
There are things that you can do to start hanging around people who talk about money in a positive way.
Right.
Because you want to have the flow of money coming in your heart and your mind and your ear gate. And you want to be able to talk about it in a positive way, letting go of past hurt feelings of it.
Yeah.
So that you don't continue to have those bad habits in the future.
I think the number one thing that helps, and it helped us, is to actually do a family budget.
Yeah.
It can be painful for people.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
I think for me, having a family budget was a little painful.
Yeah. Why was it?
I think sometimes it felt a little restrictive.
Oh, uh-huh.
But like we've talked about, we are restricting ourselves. We're not, it's not, nobody else is doing it to us. We're not really restricting ourselves. We're actually helping ourselves giving ourselves boundaries.
I like the word discipline.
We're discipline, but I actually like the word boundaries, because to me, when I think of a boundary, I think of like a fortress. Mm-hmm. When we have money boundaries, we're keeping bad things out and good things in. So to me, that helps me mentally and physically
to understand
why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Your budget is boundaries.
My budget is boundaries.
And my budget is like discipline.
Yeah.
Like I can do this, but I don't.
And mine for the boundaries is I can go up to the wall right there, right? So it's like you don't want to jump over the wall, because if I jump over the wall, then the whole house can come down.
Or when you jump over, now you're in all of that.
You're in all of that,
whatever that is.
That you don't want inside the boundary. Now you're in that and you're messed up. So yeah. I don't want to jump over and get into that.
And you don't want anything to come over. And
I definitely don't want anything
that you didn't invite.
Exactly.
And see, that right there, that just shows two different thought processes about money.
But it's the same thing, just coming from different avenues. Right. Yeah.
Like we're on the same path, mm-hmm, with different perspectives.
Yeah.
I think the best thing about selling real estate for me is not actually selling the homes, but really talking about money so much.
You really like to talk about it, or you want to hear it?
Just talking about it, helping people arrange it, budgeting for the mortgage, or, you know, knowing that there's property taxes and there's all these, the home insurance, just all these different things, right? Like literally day in and day out, I'm talking to people about their money flowing in and out.
Well, you know, some people are scared of numbers. And that really terrifies them. They're like, I don't want to count. I don't want to think about subtracting this or adding that or dividing this, because they felt like they weren't good in school. And the cool thing about being an adult, mm-hmm, is that you can use a calculator.
Yeah.
You can call a friend.
Right.
You know, you can.
Or your spouse can help you.
Definitely.
If you feel that way, you don't have to be alone. And I think, like you said, if you felt bad about numbers, you didn't feel like math was your strong point, mm-hmm, you don't have to carry that weight all by yourself. If you do have an accountant, or you listen to accountants, or your spouse is somebody that likes numbers, use that to your advantage, mm-hmm, because now you can have the benefit of it without you having to do it.
Yeah, because you're a team.
And that could be something that you really look for in a spouse. Like, hey, I am not good with numbers, and I really need to be with somebody who is. And if they're not, then they can tell you. And that doesn't even mean that it has to be a deal breaker. If you were like, I'm not good with numbers either, but I was thinking I really wanted to get a financial advisor or something or whatever. And they're like, me too.
Yeah. You basically want to find somebody who has good character when it comes to resources and finances.
Right.
Whether it's you, your spouse, or that person who's going to be handling your money, you want to make sure that that person is a person of character.
So that you guys can have your money understanding together, if that's how you need to grow together. I definitely would see people feel better about the whole process when we would talk about money. And I would make sure that I would keep it light.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, so we have this loan, we have this collection, we have this, like, nothing got like a bigger sound.
Yeah.
Oh, you have this student loan.
It's like, wow.
This $30,000, you know, or, okay, so you have this payment out, you're paying child support here, you're paying that here. Okay, we got that going. Everything was just like neutral.
Because you want to look at ways to chop them down. And so you have to get your mind thinking differently.
Yeah, it's like, look, you don't have to be ashamed.
No.
You don't have to be ashamed. And another thing is, you want to know the money, like, we talked about the habit, but like, for example, Cherry and Larry, they like to do it big at the holidays.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But come February 28th, they don't have any money.
You gotta pay the piper.
And I asked her, why do you do that every year? Why do you spend so much money to be so upset and sad? in February and March. And they're so excited. You can get caught up in it too.
Yeah.
Like, I almost didn't even enjoy the parties because you kind of knew, like, oh my gosh, if I party with her, I know come March 1st, February 28th, it's not going to be good.
Well, overspending is jumping over that boundary, jumping over that fence.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
It is.
And I don't want to jump over that fence and have to deal with that February 28th.
Yeah.
You know, I want to stay under that fence or on this the right side of the fence for me so that I can always take care of all of my responsibilities throughout the year.
And you have to know, like, if people have emotional things tied to that. You know, she really felt like when she was growing up, they never had a Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, so she's overcompensating for the Christmas she never had.
Well, financial overcompensation.
Yeah. And so Larry could not, he didn't want to deny her that. So now we're kind of in enabling.
He's enabling.
So we're enabling this type of spending
and behavior.
One thing I would suggest in that situation is, hey guys, why don't you just put like a few $100s, I don't know how much you need, every month. So by the time we get to December, just take from that account.
Yeah.
And do it up. Because if you need that, you need that for your healing, or you need that in your life. Every Christmas, honey, I need 3 to 4 trees. You know, okay. I need that.
Yeah.
I need it. And you have to decide if that's something that we're going to work through so I can only have one tree, or we're going to just have no trees, or are we going to still do, you're going to let me have my 4 trees. And what we're going to do about it, we're going to make a plan so we're not hurting in the end.
Yeah.
And like I said, there's all these workarounds.
There are.
If you're honest.
And if you work together. If you work together, you communicate and you're honest with each other. You put it all on the table. I like 4 trees during Christmas time. And this is how much they cost. Because I'm not going to get the cheap ones. I want to get a nice one.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, that's more than likely.
10-12 footer.
Yeah. So, if you know that that's the type of tree that you're going to get, you have to budget that out.
Yeah.
And keep it and put it away. Mm-hmm. You both know that it's going towards that time. And you're anticipating that time.
Right.
You know, so that can become something great for your household.
Yeah.
So you can turn something that could have been a negative thing into a positive thing. So now you have anticipation for Christmas.
Or like a tradition. Every month we're like, we're going to get ready for Christmas. Dun, 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 dun. And then we use that and we're still smooth sailing February and March.
Yeah. Because you want to make sure that you have a place to stay, that you have your car.
Yeah.
You want to have your bills paid,
mm-hmm.
and that the kids are okay if you have children. So, you know, you're going to rock and roll for the rest of the year.
You know, one thing that helps people so much is when they adjust when the time of the bills come out of the month.
Definitely.
I didn't know that until, I don't know how old I was when I found that out. So when I was younger, I just thought, you know, I get a bill, they have the due date, I'm supposed to pay it on that date.
Yeah.
I didn't know that you could go to them and say, hey, I want to move this date back or forward or whatever. And they may say, okay, you have to pay this amount over to get it to that date. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know those were options.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that there's financial options, that you have the right to make changes to your resources. And you actually helped me with that, because knowing that you can change your bills,
mm-hmm.
you can change your the day that you're putting out for your child support.
Yeah.
So some men may not know, in some circumstances, they're able to change the date that they're able to release their child support payment,
mm-hmm.
to make sure that they can cover that payment
right
when it comes out of their check.
Like we were talking about, yeah. they could, if it's on the 5th, they can maybe move it to the 9th or the 17th, and that'll help them.
It'll help them to make sure that everything is on time.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And there's and that's the thing, you know, cash flow, money flow, all of these things are just important topics. Another question you may want to ask with remarriage finances, mm-hmm. is if an ex or anyone else outside of this new union,
yeah.
has access to accounts that you have. So for example, if an ex has access to a child's college fund, or if the ex had a business, you guys ran a business together, and she or he is still on the business account. So anyone, though, not just the spouse, it like a family member, father, daughter, this, whatever.
Any outside person
is related to or tied into your money somehow through your spouse, your new spouse. Mm. Did I say that right?
Well, to simplify it, I guess you're saying, does anybody besides the two of you have access to your money?
Or, yeah, or to money that your spouse is tied to. Let me say this. It might not be money that me and you have.
So is your spouse tied to money with someone else is basically what you're saying.
Yeah, that's in an, yeah.
So you're saying, is your spouse tied to money with someone else outside of the marriage?
Right. Exactly. And you want to know that. So like if your grandmother has you on some account, you should know that. But some people...
Well, if you say if your grandmother has you on account, you mean if my grandmother has me on another account, you should know something about that.
Right. Now, that doesn't mean that I even have to put my name on it.
No, you should just have the knowledge of it.
That there is something out there. Now, this goes against a lot of women are taught like you always have to have your little secret stash.
Yeah, that's definitely a known thing.
You always have to have something. And you have to decide like how much trust you and this new person are going to have together.
I always come back to, are we building a happy remarriage? Because if we're building a legacy and we're building something together for the rest of our lives, then there shouldn't be any financial secrets. Because if there are financial secrets, then why are we together?
Yeah, because you as a person may say, hey, it's okay that you're in your grandmother's account. Thanks for telling me.
Yeah.
I have no need for granny's account.
No.
And you may say, honey, it's okay for you to have your separate little girl fund. Because in some states, it's not going to even matter anyway. If you're doing all of this transactions and your spouse doesn't know, it's going to come up.
Secret moves.
Yeah. So like you said, you can be separate. Just don't be secret.
Yeah.
Just know, hey, I got this over here. My business is over here. And actually my ex's sister is working the business with me or whatever. You should know that.
Yeah. Because if you're with someone and they can't know all those things, to me, that's...
What are we doing?
Yeah, it's a red flag.
Why do we have to be so secretive? And I understand, like, I have to be secretive to protect myself. People may feel that way.
That's the bottom line, is that people want to protect themselves. But if I'm in a marriage to protect myself, then why am I in
getting married? Getting married. It can only just make matters worse in the end.
Yes.
So most of these transactions are happening. Your spouse never knew about something. And now you've interjected a trust issue, a big one, because now you may have triggered that spouse. Because remember, let's say that spouse went through a divorce too, and it just gets magnified. It's like really huge. I would want to say to remarriages that the negative wisdom for this conversation with money and remarriage is definitely to be open and honest.
Another nugget is that you can have separate accounts, but just don't be secret about it.
Right. So. Separate, not secret.
Yeah, separate, not secret.
If you need to have something of your own,
just talk about it.
Yeah. Oh, I have one more nugget. And that is that when you are coming into a new marriage, you can have a financial reset.
Actually, the marriage in itself is a new reset.
It is.
So you're actually getting a new financial reset by having that new marriage.
If you don't bring in your old habits.
Yes.
If you don't lie, if you don't have all these other accounts and things and loans and shame and all of that. So the marriage doesn't make it reset.
No, you do.
You have to reset it.
Yes.
Weigh in on this topic here on the podcast, or you can find us on YouTube at Remarried Love.
Hey guys, you are valued and appreciated regardless of what you're going through. We want you to know that you are not alone, and we're here to support you.